From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Monday morning Oxford Exxon podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning we'll talk mascots. We'll talk a little golf today. There's a beer garden up on the site. Neil and Jeffrey from Sunday as well. That brought to you by the Oxford Crystal, where you get mint cheese bites and more. You go over to the Oxford Exxon, you get daiquiris, $3.99. Cheapest one, 44 ounces for the largest if you are so inclined, lunch specials, ribs, and much more, including the Speed Pass Plus app, which saves you money, is convenient, and also helps you avoid any credit card skimmers or identity theft sometimes associated with convenience stores and gas stations. And again, we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call Corey and tell him what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just easy. And you get your quote. It's up to you. You can shop it around if you like. You're going to end up coming back to Corey because it's, like I said, it's right to the bottom line. It's the best quote you're going to get. You're also going to get great service after the sale, delivery options, everything you could possibly want from your car guy, your truck guy. And that's what Corey wants to be. 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory. Like Chase said, there's a beer garden up from yesterday. There's also a beer garden up from Friday with Ryan Brown that if you like college football, and most of you out there do, I strongly encourage that you listen to it. I think you'd really like it. There is a Saul Ferbal podcast from Friday.
Friday morning. Friday morning.
And Jay Tate and I taped a greatest pod in the South on Saturday afternoon. So there's a lot of podcasts up. If you're interested in podcasts and you like podcasts, they're up. So there you go.
What'd you and Jeffrey talk about?
We did it during probably when we started. Tiger was on the fifth hole. We finished. He finished the ninth. We talked a lot about what would it mean if he won. Just him in general, how he is golf. It's obvious that he is golf. That even though there are a ton of players, including the guy that won, who are better than him, he is the only guy that moves the needle at all among mainstream sports fans. Because outside of football and perhaps the NBA, every other sport's become niche. Even Major League Baseball, somewhat of a niche regional sport. The NBA is not niche. The NBA, especially in the postseason, is a mainstream sport. There's no question about it. The NFL, college football, those are mainstream sports. I'm not sure that anything else is. Golf is a niche sport. It's a big niche, but it's a niche. But it's only mainstream.
And college basketball in March.
Yeah, yeah. College basketball has a month
where
it's mainstream.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not knocking any sport. But when Tiger does stuff like yesterday, golf becomes mainstream for a moment.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. I mean, you've got people that you never see ever tweet about golf and know nothing about golf that become somewhat emotionally invested in Tiger Woods. Yeah. It's interesting.
Well, and I said this in the beer garden. I think Tiger is a very... I'm more in tune with like my flaws and such than a lot of people. So I get this. Tiger's that guy that when he first came up, no one could relate to him because he was awesome. And it looked like it was easy. And he was going to blow all these records away. And he was married to the perfect blonde and everything was just, you would look at it and go, that dude's life is perfect. I wish I could be him. Well, as we always find out, and I always say, you can drive down a street and point at any random house, and there's stuff going on in that house. But you would never know it from the outside because people put a facade up. So we found out with Tiger that everything wasn't perfect.
Had a lot going on.
Had a lot going on. The kind of stuff that happens to a lot of people. He was fallible. His marriage wasn't as perfect as we all thought it was. His body began to deteriorate on him. He had an injury.
Won the U.S. Open with a torn ACL.
He lost his father. Didn't really handle that particularly well, like a lot of people don't when they lose a parent. And his life kind of fell apart.
Just a complicated life with his father. I mean, talk about a relationship that was very abnormal.
Controlling and different. And so he fell apart as a person on multiple levels. And I suspect, and I haven't listened to his press conference from yesterday. I was told it was really good. I suspect that even though he always put up this public face, I suspect there were some dark moments for Tiger Woods when he laid in a bed or sat in a chair or whatever all by himself and thought, I'm never going to get back where I want to get.
Well, it was a year and a half or less ago that he was standing on the road after a DUI arrest in the middle of the night in Florida because he fell asleep in his car.
Because of painkillers.
When he started this comeback, he didn't have a golf swing. Literally, because of his fusion, he didn't know what his golf swing looked like at this point. And now he is 29th in the world. It's up 1,173 spots since the 2017 Hero World Challenge. He didn't win either one of them, but almost won back-to-back majors. He was contending in the British Open as well on Sunday. Yeah, it is a success story that is relatable. It allows the people that just have always appreciated Tiger as this superhuman figure to also kind of see him as that. There's the hardcore golf fan that likes that the new era of golfers are getting to experience what a Sunday with Tiger is like, even though it's not 2008 Tiger, but still still from a crowd standpoint, it was. I mean, so that's
kind of was yesterday.
I just mean how he plays. Yeah. But I mean, he shot 64. I mean, he went 66, 64 on the weekend for his best weekend round in a major.
Yesterday was the most Tiger-ish Sunday that we've had since Tiger was Tiger.
Yeah. And
period.
A heck of a story if Brooks Koepka doesn't play a heck of a Sunday. So
yeah, he ruined it for everybody.
Malloy's boy screwed it up for everyone involved.
He's just really good, but he's that guy.
And he's interesting in a dumb way. Not a dumb way, but in a much different way. Because Koepka, all right, little background on him for non-golf people. We're not going to stay on this long. But I do find his mentality interesting. So he comes out of Florida State. He lives off chips on his shoulders. He has to always find a chip to kind of motivate him and keep him going. I think Chris would even agree with that. So he was a Florida fan growing up. Florida didn't recruit him. Goes to Florida State, uses that as motivation or whatever, has a good career, goes to the European minor league tour to start his career. I mean, goes overseas, just starts toiling his way over there, gets on the European tour, plays over there for a while, finally ends up on the PGA Tour in 2015. So while he's relatively the same age as all these other young American stars, he didn't have that same path. I mean, he kind of got forgotten over in Europe for a year or two. He comes back over here and whereas a lot of them, you know, Jordan Spieth comes off as kind of like the new Jack Nicklaus, and you've got this guy that's the new Arnold Palmer, and you got all these real personable people, Ricky Fowler, and they're market people. They understand how to make the dollar. They're great with fans, and Brooks is good with fans too, but they have this weird appreciation for golf history and for golf that golf fans and writers really like. They like the guy that sees it as an obsession as much as the average golfer that plays on Saturday morning sees it as an obsession. And Koepka instead will come out and say, it's just a job. I'm good at it. I'm athletic. I can play it.
He looks like a linebacker.
But I don't really care. And he has no interest in the history of it. He has very little in the media or the pomp and circumstance that surrounds golf a lot of times. I mean, an example of that is he finishes up on 18 yesterday, and it's very customary when the winner's known for the other guy to go ahead and get out of the way and then leave the final putt for the winner to kind of celebrate and have his moment in the stage. So Adam Scott, who's finishing third, I think, or whatever in his group, he looks over at Brooks and goes, hey, I'll finish up or whatever, because Brooks was like a foot and a half from the cup. And Brooks said, no, never mind, and just goes and taps it in anyway, finishes before Scott, tips his hat to the crowd, and walks off. It's like, okay, whatever. And, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's got three majors. He's got three of the last six or something like that.
You're making me like him.
He only has one other PGA Tour win, which is what's weird. He only has four wins, but three are majors. Been really good on the Ryder Cup team. He'll be on the Ryder Cup team, obviously, in September. He's up to the – or August. He's up to the number one player in the – September. He's up to the number two player in the world, right behind Dustin Johnson. But he finds all these chips on his shoulder. He always talks about not having any respect while also admitting that he does at least crave – equal respect from a notoriety standpoint to the other people who he is starting to have better resumes than. You know, he took offense to it on Thursday. He shot 169. And no one asked him for any interviews, or no reporter questioned him after the round or requested him after the round. He was annoyed by that. He found that as a cheap shot. He wasn't listed on Thursday on the screen as notables. Like, they'll give the top five scores, then below that they'll give notables, and it'll be Tiger and Phil and whatever. He wasn't listed among those, even though he's won two U.S. Opens in a row. He searches for any type of shot he can find.
Well, that was kind of fair to get upset at that shot a little bit. I mean, he is – I mean, if you're the one the last two U.S. Opens, you're notable.
He searches for anything, and then at the end –
that's more than Tiger's won.
I mean,
last 2 years, but I mean, I get why Tiger's notable. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying he probably did belong on that screen.
He has three times as many majors as Dustin Johnson, 3-1. He's only one behind Rory McIlroy. Has the same number as the Golden Boy, Jordan Spieth. But at the end of the press conference last night, he was asked, "Do you hope this gives you that extra level of whatever?" And he just said, "I hope so," and kind of finished it there. So it's a strange thing where he keeps telling you how he doesn't care at all about what people think about him, while deep down caring a ton what people think about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not care at all what people think about you. You can get obsessed with it, and it become overwhelming, but it's hard to not care at all. It's easy to care less than you used to care.
You know, I kind of understand. I mean, it's a little bit of nuance. It's a fine line there, but I do get what he's saying. Like, at the end of the day, he's not ingrained enough in that mentality to go, "Hey, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure I do this, 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 and this. I'm just going to kind of live my life." He's dating an actress or model or somebody. I know we're all stunned. And, at the same time, look at the paper and go, "Well, I won, but Tiger's on every cover in the world today. I've won two U.S. Opens in a row, and I'm not listed in the notables." People kind of forget that I'm even on the Ryder Cup team here in a month. I'm over the number two player in the world, and I've got the same whatever as him. I mean, human nature says you do crave, when you're in that position, a certain level of notoriety and publicity for what you're accomplishing. And I understand that, but it's going to be hard for him to get that in the normal way with the nonchalant attitude that he takes with kind of the golf profession and with the media. It just is what it is. Cause the golf media loves nothing more than the ability to celebrate the pageantry and the people that love the history and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I don't know. Koepka's interesting, but in a much different way than a lot of golfers. So
Tiger's interesting because he's human.
Yeah. It's a comeback story.
We all kind of cheer for that. We all sort of hope that if your life bottoms out, that you can pick it up and rebuild.
In the sports world today, if Brooks Koepka doesn't exist, I mean, Tiger winning 15, his number 15, I mean, it would have been worldwide number one story.
That's what Jeffrey and I were talking about. It would have actually replaced a lot of the stuff that dominates the sports world today on Monday. Because you have NFL preseason, which NFL's king, man. All you got to do is just watch television. NFL just dominates. Baseball pennant races are going on. There were dramatic games yesterday and all that stuff. But Tiger would have superseded all that, and in some ways still did.
He was so locked into the old Tiger from a mentality standpoint yesterday. He was
all over the place on the fairways.
Yeah, he didn't hit one for 10 holes. But now the rest of his game was locked in. He hit iron after iron. I mean, he hit shot 64, missing almost every fairway. Gets to 17, I think it was 17, that par 5, and hits the ball way right, almost hits it in the creek, and like gives that ferocious swing after because he's pissed off and he's cussing and the camera's trying not to catch it. Like, fully locked in, which was fun to see again. And then I tell you, maybe the most human moment, he makes that putt for birdie on 18 that he knows is not winning the golf tournament. It caps off a 64. There's going to be some heartache because of the missed opportunities he had to shoot, frankly, 62 and tie.
Yeah.
And he gives a fist pump like it's the 97 Masters, like he just did win his 15th major. It was fun to kind of see Tiger celebrate something other than perfection, if that makes sense. You know,
sure.
he I think he proved something to himself and was celebrating that more so than celebrating the outcome of the event.
Probably true.
And there's some, I don't know, there's something poignant about that. So anyway, there's my golf stuff for the week, but yeah, I don't know. I'd like to talk to Chris. I might get him on the podcast at some point to discuss kind of the inner workings of Koepka because I find him interesting. But he's won three of the last six majors and didn't play in the Masters. So he's actually won three of the last five that he's played in, including, again, the last two U.S. Opens at Erin Hills and at Shinnecock Hills. And so number two player in the world, right behind Dustin Johnson. So anyway, Tiger.
When the guy says on Twitter that he's going to block you.
Uh-huh.
And you reply with thank you, have a great day.
Uh-huh.
And then he keeps coming back at you because he's not blocking you. Don't say you're going to block if you're not going to block.
Who is it?
Oh, it's one of those troll weird accounts.
What are they on you about?
Oh, I don't have any idea.
You have some idea why they're mad at you.
I really don't, because I tweeted a nice tweet at Emma Lovewell, who taught the Peloton class that I took this morning.
Okay.
Because it was a really good class. And I like her. She's cool. She's very positive. I'm not very positive.
They're not all positive? Isn't that kind of their shtick?
But different people are let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And she kind of will tell you stories and stuff. She's kind of, I like her. She's fun. She's
okay.
I listen to her. I find her somewhat, not inspirational, but just puts me in a better mood. She's easy to look at.
Well, that is one of the positives of Peloton, is you essentially have a personal trainer yelling at you for talking to you for an hour.
She's kind of, she pushes, and her classes are hard. My legs are shot by the end, but I kind of enjoyed it. And like I said, she's easy to look at on top of that, which makes it positive. So I just responded to something she tweeted with, hey, it was a great class, thanks for your positivity, whatever. And he comes back and says, seek help. It's one of those deals, just those people who are.
Internet, cold, dark place.
Internet's a cold, dark place full of really unhappy people.
Can you, I assume that the answer is you have to have the bike. Can you pay to get the trainer service and then like stream it on an iPad or something with Peloton, or do you have to have the bike and their system?
I think you can get it. What you don't get if you do that is you don't get like the leaderboard and some of the metrics and stuff.
Okay. Because it's hooked up to your bike. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know.
But you could technically stream the classes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just wouldn't know where you ranked, and more importantly, I don't think you would know your cadence, specifically maybe what your resistance level was.
Other than maybe the bike you're on,
get a heart rate monitor. Yeah, I mean you could simulate a lot.
You could rig it up.
Yeah, the one thing you wouldn't have would be the leaderboard.
Okay,
and for some people that they don't like the leaderboard. Like Campbell does it, and she.
Say there's no right or wrong, but your mentality is dictated somewhat by the whether or not you like that leaderboard.
Different people are different ways. Yeah, I mean, like Campbell minimizes it, but she hides it where she can't see it. And every once in a while, I'll hide it where I'm not obsessed with it, so I'll do the workout. But sometimes I'm like, okay, no, I'm gonna try to get in the top 20 today or whatever.
And you probably can figure out early on if that's even a possibility. You can go, oh well, these people are doing crazy stuff, so never mind. This is stupid.
Well, supposedly there's a lot of professional athletes that do it. Under aliases. And some days they're like, I'm dying, and I'm like eighth, and I'll scroll up to see who's number one, number two, and they're like 300 points ahead of me, and I'm like, oh, my God. Literally, my heart would have exploded at this point.
And they're just having a casual little Tuesday
and they're
workout.
They're probably just chilling. Yeah. We're not all equal.
Yeah. And then you got the people on the very, very bottom that are just trying today and get back on it tomorrow and you keep going. And I mean, that's where it'd be motivation is over time you would move up the board. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said for that. But anyway, all right. There's also something to be said for taking the hassle out of stocking your locker suite this game day. We're only a few weeks away from the start of football season. You can place your order with Locker Stockers. They handle purchase and delivery to your locker or suite at Vault Hemingway prior to game day. So give them a call at 662-586-1487 or info at lockerstockers.com for more information, as they will help you out all through the year, whether it be Vault Hemingway, the Pavilion, or Swayze Phil.
The podcast is also brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her site, MeganMPhillips.com. That's MeganMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating, getting closer and closer to the home opener September the 8th. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you try them once, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear. You can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail, whether you're coming up for one game or all the games or anything in between, and whether your tailgate is really intricate and complicated or very simple. 7 South has a package for you, 7southtailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. Or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And as we transfer into the next segment of the podcast, probably fitting to tell you that Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They have a great app as well. They're located there in Holly Springs. 662-252-2321 is the phone number. They're on 145 East Van Dorn Avenue in Holly Springs. Go fill out the forms or stop in. They've got sildenafil and many other things that help you along with your day. So give them a call. Again, 662-252-2321. Deliver wherever you are. And they're also now in Oxford G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, where they deliver local in the Oxford area. So we'll go. Let's go to mascots now. Ole Miss unveiling Tony the Land Shark on Saturday at Meet the Rebels Day. They had a kind of full suite of stuff ready to go. They've got marks. They've got insignias. They've got logos. Apparently, he has a different uniform for each major sport on campus. Maybe more than that. Not sure, but I know at least those. You talked about this a lot in 10 Thoughts. Go read 10 Thoughts on the site of RebelGrove.com. I pretty much agree with you. It was very, very well done from a marketing standpoint, just because a lot of the criticisms we had with the bear was they were so scared of it. There was the tentativeness to unveil anything connected. They knew how it was getting approached. Now, you know, look, was the decision to have the bear completely up front from a voting standpoint? I don't know. Probably not. But nonetheless, you got the bear. They knew what was coming. And they never really maximized it fully for a myriad of reasons.
They never hugged their bear.
No, never hugged their bear. The bear did put a box on his head on a game day one time. But
in fairness, that was a bad season.
It kind of made me appreciate the bear a little more, honestly.
To me, it was as lovable as the bear ever got. I was like, that's a funny bear.
It will be the memory that goes with the bear is he draws eyes or whatever it was on the box and put the box over his head. As a long-suffering Saints fan, I completely understood the sentiment.
It's hard to argue with the bear that day.
That was the La Tech game that night.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was the 27-7 or whatever it was, La Tech game.
You got to respect the bear at that point, man. Or you really do.
Things were not going well.
No. at all.
So it's amazing the depth of opinion we have to have on mascots around here, because, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, it sounds crazy, but in some far-reaching segments of the fan base, it's actually true. I mean, the Bear replacing Colonel Rubble, it's kind of like whoever replaces Saban, because then, like, it takes the next person to have, like, the normal existence. You know what I mean? Like, everyone was going to hate the Bear no matter what, like, because it came after the whole Rebel thing.
Yeah.
So you've got to let that die and then replace that to be kind of normal. And I think that's sort of where they are with the Shark. Now, look.
Today on the show, Chase Parham compares Colonel Rebel to Nick Saban.
I did. In a way that actually makes sense when you stop and think about it. So.
Oh, God.
Now, look. This is not going to be a long, in-depth conversation, because here we would be hypocrites. We've talked about constantly that mascots are for children. Mascots are for pulling some heartstrings on kids, trying to make them connected and involved with your university, and maybe it'll stick over time. That's been the prevailing thought we've given for a long time. So to then break down the mascot would be dumb, because I'm 34 years old. I don't have a huge opinion, and if it works with kids, it works. I would have gone a little fuzzier just because maybe kids like that more, but I'm far from a mascot expert. Kids may love it. It may be fine, whatever. And at the end of the day, how many mascots are really known around the country, not just the average fan? I mean, I get there are a few, but whatever. Tulane's look stupid. There's a lot that looks stupid. They work. You hug them. You move on with your day, and If the worst thing the university has going on is what their mascot looks like, it's a pretty good day for the athletic program.
I mean, years ago when the Cubs introduced Clark the Cub, the mascot, a lot of diehard Cub fans bitched about it.
Why do we have such strong opinions on mascots?
I'll never understand. A lot of it was because those are the same people that 20 years earlier had bitched about, we don't need night games. Those were the same people that bitched about, we don't need to put signage up at Wrigley Field. We don't need to, you know what I mean? There are people who just don't like change. They don't like new. They want it to be the way it was when they were in their primes, you know? And fast forward 6 years or so, and Clark the Cubs, when you see him at Wrigley, you don't think anything of it. Hey, there's Clark the Cub. And there are all the hundreds of kids following him around. There they are.
What's he look like?
Just a big yellow bear.
Oh, he's just a bear.
Just a bear.
What was their problem with a bear?
They didn't want a mascot.
Period.
Period. People are strange about this stuff. I'm with you. I've been on record about it. I'm not going to change now. I thought they did a fantastic job of, with the bear, they didn't even dip their toe in the water. You know, like you see a little kid, like you've got, how old's Carly Ann now, almost two?
Over two. Turned two in March.
So when she goes to the swimming pool, you know, maybe now she just jumps right in, but the first few times that she went to the swimming pool, she kind of dips her toe and takes a step back. She's not really sure, if I jump in, am I going to be okay?
I would have loved for her to do that. She's incredibly fearless and actually just dives head first in any body of water she sees. But well, yes, I understand what you're referring to.
We've all been there.
That's not overly common.
And seen the little kid at the pool who can't quite decide whether it's time to jump off that board or not.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was the kid on the board that kept going back. No, we're not going to get in. This time they just jumped right in the deep end, and did it. And that's the way you should do it. They had merchandise ready. They created a revenue stream. They had new marks. Let's face it. How many items of clothing, Chase, can you buy that has Ole Miss and script on it? At some point, you've got enough. It's the same thing. It's that way with pick your team, pick your school. I don't care. How many AU shirts can you have?
Sell any item you can find with the little state of Mississippi with the shark fin on it. I like it. It's a good looking little deal. Sell as many things you can with just the script M on it, just the M out of the Ole Miss logo. They've started to use more and more and more.
So they sold new merchandise that you wouldn't otherwise sell. Well, in this economy, that's a W. And if the kids like it, that's really all that matters. Would I have if they had said, Neil, you draw up the mascot? I would have said, really? And they would have said, yeah. And I would have said, okay. And I would have drawn up a big fluffy shark. And I'd have run him out there as the big fluffy shark. And you had to know that the national people and the people who cheer for other teams were going to make fun of you. Why you're bothered, if you're bothered by that, is beyond me. You had to know that was coming. My God, it's an easy target. Don't worry about it.
There were multiple national media members that still thought they had Colonel Rupp on the sidelines. It's been 15 years. Literally.
That shows you two things. One, it shows you how idiotic some people are. And two, it shows you how little the Bear got noticed.
But, I mean, they went 10 years without one.
And I think you can't do that. I think you have to have a revenue stream. Alabama makes money off Big Al. Auburn makes money off
Well, they still either licensed or sold Colonel Rebel stuff in 2010.
But they didn't embrace it. Yeah, so maximizing that revenue stream.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I would have brought out a big fluffy shark.
Now, look, the stuffed version is going to be fluffy. So, okay, yeah, fair enough.
So cool. It's whatever. He's fine. If the kids like him, it works. If the kids don't like him, it didn't work. So if the kids like him, it's all good. I give them credit, though. They were ready. They did something. Everybody's bitched about administrations and stuff. This administration was ready for this. They did it really well. It rolled it out extremely well. If you're an Ole Miss fan, I think you have to be pleased with that.
Well, and part of that goes along with, we talked about this a little bit on, Thursday's show, because we did Friday's show Thursday night, is even with calling him Tony and doing the whole Tony Fine thing, you have to be committed to that. It's another item where you've got to be all in, because if you're not, it doesn't work. So
because Tony Fine is complicated. And so there were a handful of people, and one in particular was a troll. He's no longer with us.
Did you read somebody?
I did.
Oh. Complete ban or just blacklist where they can't post?
Blacklisted for like 6 months.
Okay. It's a heavy one.
I know, and I've been doing this for 10 and a half years. It's people are like, oh, you censor. I never censor. I don't censor enough. Other moderators on other sites are always like, man, you guys let stuff go. And I'm like, yeah, I just kind of believe in a free speech community. When I realized the guy was trolling, I banned him. But if there are people out there, hear me out and tell me whether you agree with this, Chase. If there are people out there that kind of have a problem with Tony Fine and naming the mascot after him, I get it. I get it. I view it as more of a brave thing, a compassionate thing, something that shows a grasp on nuance and being willing to take on a complicated topic. And like I wrote in 10 Thoughts, frankly, I think if Tony Fine's situation leads one person to have a conversation about depression, anxiety, addiction, any of those things, it's positive. And Tony Fine's life can't be defined strictly by the way that it ended. That's not how we do anything. We don't define Michael Jackson's life strictly by the way it ended. We also talk about his brilliance, his talent. He was complicated. He had issues. He also was incredibly gifted. You can talk about both things. And with Tony Fine, you can talk about this as a guy that served his country. He was a leader on a football team where he was not one of the more physically talented
players. But appeared
players.
To be a model student athlete.
His teammates loved him.
Yeah.
I remember when he passed away, how many of his teammates were truly impacted. And so it's complicated. And in many ways, I'm kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm impressed by Ole Miss being willing to embrace that. And yeah, you knew you were going to take some heat for that. It's okay. I mean, it's one thing for people to troll about it. I have no respect for those people. But if someone says, you know, I'm not really sure that I think that's the right thing to do, I understand that opinion. I can respect that opinion. And I heard some of that over the weekend, and I completely understand it. I disagree with them, but I disagree in a very civil way. I can completely understand, don't you agree, how someone could hear that and say, I don't really know that that's necessarily what we should have embraced.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I kind of allowed my opinion to evolve over time, because when I first heard it, I kind of thought, okay, but because I thought, okay, and I take a much more complicated fact, because the fact is, when you first have your conversation with your kids about, oh, well, why is it Tony? Oh, he played at Ole Miss and he was a veteran. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like you have to talk about you don't have to talk to the 8-year-old about post-traumatic stress disorders.
Sure.
But I had a little more of a negative thought when it was first whatever, and then as they've handled it, and I've seen some family comments and different things, I'm going, okay, this is cool. I understand it. I think they've done a really good job of embracing it in the correct way, and it is what it is. So it's a mascot. Hopefully they won't change it again. We're having this conversation in 5 more years. We can let it go and let it just be a mascot for a while.
They absolutely have to embrace it now. You're in. You've got to go with it. We live in a short news cycle.
You can't be the Flood in 2026.
Nope. He's your guy.
That was a really good mascot, though, by the way. Like, back in the day when they switched from Flood in 1926 or whatever it was.
It was
1919.
A mistake. Should have just stayed there.
Mississippi River right there, Flood. Got to have a better-looking green wave-looking thing.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity.
The Flood, looking back 100 years ago, Flood was good.
Yeah, that
would have been very unique and
cool. No one's offended by a flood.
I mean, not in and of itself. No.
Right.
It's water.
It's water. No one ever looks at the Tulane Green Wave and goes, that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Green wave.
Green wave. Why can't we have a blue wave?
Tupelo. No, Tupelo has a golden wave.
So is anyone a blue wave?
I'm not aware of any blue waves.
Okay. Why not?
But you don't want to call yourself the blue wave, though. You just call yourself the Flood.
I don't know. I have complicated thoughts on blue waves and floods. Not really. No, they're in now. You're in. You have to embrace him. You have to make him go center.
Florida State College at Jacksonville is the blue wave.
Damn right. Damn right they are. Good for them.
They are.
I know. Believe you. Excited about it.
Couple club baseball teams of the blue wave as I'm looking at this.
Oh, I'm sure. Carson plays for a Flood. His team's the Flood.
Are they really?
Yeah. His new team.
What's the mascot look or the logo look like? They have a logo?
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's Flood and kind of cursive.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. All that fancy.
Didn't hire a graphic designer for the 11-year-old soccer team.
It did not appear that they went out and hired a focus group.
Well, you never know in Little League sports these days. I mean, look.
It's a good point.
I mean, they could have an apparel contract for all I know. So
I can't argue that.
Learn new things every day, don't you?
Yep.
With Little League sports and participations and whatnot. So. Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Were your friends, you know a lot of people, were your friends basically pleased?
I mean, I was really proud of my friends because, I mean, there was some jokes made, but it was all very lighthearted and no one cared. Like, hey, he looks like this or that or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's, hey, take your 8-year-old, let her hug him, and it's all good, and move on with your day.
Most of your friends agreed with me. They would have preferred a fluffy shark.
I mean, yeah, all criticisms that were given out were about the appearance of the shark from a aesthetically pleasing standpoint. Yeah.
I thought some of the marks were really cool.
The marks are great.
The state with the fin and then the M that is kind of incorporates a shark's body.
All good.
That's really neat.
Yeah. I'm
like, if I'm an Ole Miss fan, I'm buying that stuff because how many items of clothing can you own that just have the script on it? At some point, it's repetitive, right? I mean, you've got a powder blue polo that's got the Ole Miss script on it. You got a red polo that's got the Ole Miss script on it. I'm not making fun of the Ole Miss script. My point is at some point,
you've red, white, blue, powder, navy. Okay.
You've pretty much covered the gamut at that point, right?
Yeah. That's what I said. Now you have the shark thing and you have the little M script thing.
Yeah.
It gives a lot of new possibilities.
Chance for the school to make money.
I get asked at least twice a week, where can I get the little script M hat?
Chance to make more money. Because if you have two powder blue polos that say Ole Miss script on it, do you really need a third one? Unless you've gained a bunch of weight?
Because it's like, I don't think Mike likes it, but at some point in the future, at some point, the baseball team is going to go to that script M hat.
You think so?
It's maybe not under Mike, maybe in the next 10 years, but yeah. I don't think Mike likes it, but in general, yeah, I think they're going to move to it at some point. Wouldn't be stunned to see it be a special one-game hat at some point this year. Watch the other sports continue to incorporate it a little bit. The golf team wears it almost exclusively now.
Softball wears it, right?
Yeah. Some women's teams wear it. So, like I saw assistant golf coach Kyle Ellis yesterday, and I think he even had it on around. So, I don't know. It's cool. I like it. It's still uniquely Ole Miss while being a little different mark. And, I mean, frankly, the Block M is very generic. It looks like Maryland. It looks like Michigan. It looks like other people. So,
yeah, and right now is not the time to look like Maryland.
That's a good point.
Now is not.
You don't want to be confused with the Terps right now.
Not today.
Yeah.
And, man, the people who are trying to apologize for DJ Durkin and that program, one does not get his body temperature, or one does not get one's body temperature to 106 in like a split second. That's not how that works.
No, it takes a gradual process.
And there are signs.
I'm no doctor. But.
Yeah. I mean, look, I did go to ULM. I get it. And so a lot of you view me as like an intellectual
authority
expert.
Figure,
right,
when it comes to
but
science and medicine.
Right. But at about 102, is my understanding, you start showing some real signs of distress.
Is that the number?
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
And you get to 103, 104, like you're not – consciousness is not a problem. It's an issue.
And it's involuntary.
And allow me to say, this is the ULM grad, the scholar in me talking. I don't think it's good medical practice when a person is unconscious on a field for the supervisors to say, and I quote, drag his ass off the field. That is probably, I'm just me, again, this is probably intimidating to a lot of you because you don't have a degree from ULM. That is probably not the proper medical response.
I mean, no jokes whatsoever. I mean, anybody that it probably happens in any kind of hard workout, but especially runners, Neil will understand this. I mean, as little as I run, I get what this feels like. You're probably only talking a degree, maybe whatever, when your body does that chill shake thing.
Yep.
Where you get cold and then you start involuntary kind of contracting and shaking.
Yep.
And that's probably only a degree or so difference in body temperature.
And what are you told when that happens?
Chill
out.
Cool place, sip water, and stop.
I don't care whether you're about to set your marathon personal record. Do you like living?
Quit. Yeah.
Hey, here's a good question. It's a question for Ross Bjork, Michael Thompson, and the gang. So, legit question.
All right. Real quick, while you're finding that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Stacey Berry. So with Mid-South growing faster than ever, she's the Keller Williams agent to look for, whether you're trying to move into downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Born and raised in the Bluff City, she knows the dynamic and unique intricacies the city has to offer, and she's wanting to get you in the 901 today. So if you're looking to sell a home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, call the Berry Home Team and let them unlock Memphis for you. You can find her at 901-481-6420, Stacey Lane Berry at kw.com. That's Lane, L-A-I-N-E, Berry, and Stacey with an E. That's Stacey with an E, Barry, the name to know in Memphis.
Youth basketball registration in the Oxford Park Commission is right around the corner. It starts September the 4th. Sign up your son or daughter for one of those leagues. Age range is 5 to 15. Cost is just $50. Last year, OPC had more than 600 take part in the basketball leagues. Numbers are expected to be similar this year. So don't miss your opportunity when it comes time to sign up for OPC youth basketball. It's www.OxfordParkCommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene, Sandy, Grass, my friends there at Grenada Nissan, that you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at RebelGrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. click on the properties and neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He is the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. Those are up on the site at rebelgrove.com. It's part of the Rivals Network. As of Saturday, we were number 3 in the entire Rivals Network in the Get Gear 99 promotion, which to my knowledge is still going.
They still haven't run out yet.
Still so going. If you want to read 10 Weekend Thoughts without paying for it, you can. You can read one Weekend Thought. If you want to read 10 Weekend Thoughts, sign up for an annual subscription to rebelgrove.com. It's part of the Rivals Network. You'll get enter code GETGEAR, GETGEAR99, and you'll get $99 worth of gear from the Rivals Fan Shop, which I would assume fairly soon might include some of the Shark stuff.
Yeah, and it's, again, if you have all the Ole Miss stuff you need, the Fan Shop has, it's like you're not exclusively bound to Ole Miss.
You can buy that Drew Brees jersey you've been wanting.
Yeah, you can get your pro team, you can get NASCAR, you can get
David Bodie jersey after last night. Maybe this is you say, I want that David Bodie jersey.
You should.
So here's the question.
Okay.
They rolled out Tony.
They did.
Tony appears to be male. He's a male shark.
So when's Tanya?
Or is there going to be a female shark?
I don't think there's a female shark. I have not heard anything about there being a female shark. I like the idea of a female shark.
Oh, I'm of the opinion that you go all in. You're in the deep end, swim deeper. Get a female shark.
You like this? You like?
Why not?
What are you naming her?
I don't know. Maybe I think at this point you have to name her after another former athlete. Because you've done that route.
So you pick a female athlete that either was really good at her craft or either endearing to the fan base in some other way?
Yeah.
Name her after Peggy Gillum or somebody?
That's a thought. She'd be on the list.
Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud.
She'd be on the list. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
I'm not the Ole Miss women's sports historian that others are.
I mean, basketball has been by far the most relevant women's sport over the years.
Yeah. Maybe there's a... Maybe there's probably an obvious answer that we're not thinking of right this moment.
Of course, yeah.
But that would probably be the route you would go since you did that with Tony Fine. I wouldn't think you'd play off his name and go with...
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the Rivals Fan Shop right now. College, NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, soccer, Olympics, and even more sports on another tab past that.
It's all there?
UFC, golf, arena football, autograph memorabilia, National Lacrosse League, MMA, and WNBA.
We've got you.
What else is there?
That's it.
I mean, like, there's no like cricket or curling. But
is there
otherwise,
ULM gear on there?
I'm sure there is. Would you like some ULM gear?
I have one T-shirt.
And you have a helmet.
I do have a helmet.
The helmet's over there somewhere. The
helmet's on the bookcase.
Yeah, I knew you had a helmet.
Yep. Helmets, bobbleheads, baseballs.
You should be slighted. ULM is not on the little drop-down menu. You have to go to view all teams to get to ULM.
As I've said on the podcast numerous occasions, it's very obvious to me that Rivals.com is trying to hold ULM down. Otherwise, we'd get all the five stars.
A lot of other people are on that list.
I know.
There's like 100 teams, and ULM is not one of them.
Yep. I mean, you tell me what that's all about. I've got my theory.
Why does you know those hats where it usually has like the initials or abbreviation and then below it spells out the name below it, the little caps? Like Ole Miss's version has like UM and then University of Mississippi right up under it.
Uh-huh.
Why does the one that says ULM have ACE as the abbreviation?
I have no idea.
And then has University of Louisiana Monroe under it?
I don't know. Maybe we got sponsored by a hardware store.
It's a good thought. Gear's okay for ULM.
It's not very good.
It's a weird color, maroon or whatever it is. It's not visually pleasing.
No, they tried too hard.
They also have potentially the ugliest baseball uniforms I've ever seen when they came to Oxford that day.
They tried too hard.
Oh, God. Yeah. They've got camo tops. They've got like these banana-looking suits.
Yeah, they tried too hard. Simple as that.
I bet they don't have the top of Harold Dill in the country from a standpoint of what they can get accomplished from.
I wouldn't think the budget's all that
from
good.
From Adidas or Nike or Under Armour or Russell or whoever does their gear.
No, when they call up whoever it is and say, so we were thinking, they're like, shut up.
Different response than like Oklahoma suddenly jumping on the Jordan brand and getting something accomplished. I did have to. You guys were just sitting here watching it, doing the beer garden with Jeffrey. I did have to figure out my day a little bit yesterday because I had to pick up dinner for everybody at some point last night, and I knew I had to have it done by a certain time. And as I was looking at the clock, I'm going, okay, if I go get it exactly when I'm done, it's going to be right at the end of this golf tournament. And if Tiger's making a run, I'm going to be in the car with takeout food as this is going on. So I guess I put everybody in a little bit of a disadvantage because I end up going and getting it 45 minutes early. It was probably cold by the end, but I felt like with Tiger having a chance to win 15, it was a chance worth taking and something I just had to accomplish. So I put golf in my own enjoyment a little ahead of procuring the best meal for the family last night. But you know,
you did the right thing.
It is what it is.
The family can wait.
Because it was going to be right on like 17, 18 when I was getting it done. If I did it when I was told to get it, so
it was Tiger.
It's Tiger. Had it been anybody else, you probably have to just bite the bullet or hit the record button or whatever. But should Tiger have won, I felt like we needed the Twitter up. I feel like we needed the TV on. We need to be fully in place for that 10 minutes of stupidity that was coming.
I don't think it would have been stupid.
We haven't had Tiger win a major with Twitter.
I am looking forward to the Tiger Woods press conference after he finally wins. I think it's going to be
a major or just a tour event?
A major.
Okay.
I think it's going to be
if he wins the Valspar, you're not interested.
No. I think if he wins the Masters or something, it's going to be.
Is he
gonna
win another one?
Yeah.
Gonna win another one?
Yeah. Because if he hits fairways yesterday, he wins one.
He shoots like 61 or something. Yeah. We have like the most memorable round in Open history.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do it. And when he does, I think it's going to be one of the more human press conferences that we've ever seen from an athlete.
He was such a robot, and now he's almost the utmost human when he talks every day.
Can't be a robot anymore. No one would buy it.
Such a robot back in the day.
Of course, he'd been programmed his whole life.
A fake. He was so socially awkward before his prime, and as his prime was happening, that he spoke to what he felt like he should say. But he couldn't actually just say it organically or in the emotions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He knew what he felt like people wanted him to do and then tried to copy that, is what he did early in his career.
Well, he was programmed from an early
age. Armin Katayan just wrote a really, really, really good biography on Tiger. And I've read a lot of Tiger books. It was one of the better ones I've seen. It was incredibly well done.
I'm not a golf guy, and I'm fascinated by Tiger Woods. I am. I think he's – I don't know. I was cheering for him yesterday. I was like, come on, you can do this. Let's go, let's go. And you see, I don't know. It's gonna happen. I think, and when it does, it'll be a great. I anticipate a remarkable press conference.
You've got basketball here in a little bit. What is that? Is that a Canadian recap today?
It's my guess. Don't really know.
Whatever you learned from.
Don't really know why we're doing. I'm not complaining. It's fine. There's just it's maybe I taught basketball in August.
What are you gonna talk about? What questions do you have? I mean, last time you got through lazy rivers and slides. So what's today?
It's a good question. I mean,
how much French he learned in Montreal?
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as the type that learned a lot of French. Now, he did get out and kind of see the city and stuff. I don't know what we're talking about. Then we have football at 10:30. Get Matt Luke today. Mm-hmm. Get an update from him. Be curious to see if his
several availabilities this week. Three, I think.
Yeah, we have today, Wednesday, Thursday. There's a scrimmage Saturday. It is not open to media. I've heard rumors it's open to the quarterback club. I don't know. If so, that's good. It's cool.
It's a fundraising arm for the program.
Sure.
Yeah, give him a perk.
I can make three media ops work. I made two work last week. I can make three work.
Melo signing with the Rockets today.
Breaking! Woohoo! Boy, no one saw that one coming.
Yeah. Sources. Yeah. What's this? Top of ESPN.com.
Ridiculous. Yes, he signed with the Rockets. $2.4 million. Be fascinating to see how that works out. One of the real interesting NBA storylines. Because what I saw of Carmelo Anthony with the Thunder – it's not going to translate to the Rockets very well.
Couple different topics to go still on today's show. First, the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're using local underwriting that understands your market. Also, get the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLO, JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The guest will join us all week on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Billy's Pecans, it's billyspecans.com. It's if you're getting ready for your high school tailgate Friday night, the regular season gets started all over Mississippi. A couple of weeks, people are going to be loading in the cars, driving to Houston for the big game. It won't be long before those first tailgates at the Grove. Billy's Pecans can help you for all of that. They've got all the great products, cinnamon spice pecans, toasted pecans, a whole lot of different chocolate pecans, Grand Marnier, dark chocolate, etc. They've got the cheese crispies, coffee cakes, sauces, jellies, and more. It's billyspecans.com. Get in touch with Stacy and Bailey and the people there at Billy's Pecans, 1-800-624-7404. The podcast... it's also brought to you by Robert Gambrell and Gambrell and Associates. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you may be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection. This is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. Also, many of you have friends or relatives that get into difficult financial situations. Gambrell and Associates helps many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are primarily worried about their credit score. For those people, many times Robert Gambrell refers his clients to Brian McLaurin, who's another advertiser on this podcast. Sometimes people find the fastest way to rebuild credit is similar to what the Cubs did, the Astros did, tear it down, start over. This can be done by filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. Whatever your needs are, you, your relatives, or friends can get a free consultation for 1 hour or more to help make your decision on what is best for you. Look for Robert Gambrell on avvo.com, superlawyers.com, or call his Oxford office, 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com, the place to go. And you can give them a call and sign an annual contract. When you do that, take care of your yard all year long, whether it be just cutting, weed eating, and edging, or get something more substantial done like outdoor living areas, outdoor kitchens, yard aeration, and much more. Again, 662-607-7773. This just popped across on Twitter. See on the Braves site that they're having an Ole Miss night at SunTrust Park. The Atlanta Braves welcome almost all Ole Miss students, alumni, and fans to SunTrust on Wednesday, August 29th. Cheer on the home team as the Braves take on the Tampa Bay Rays at 7:35 p.m. I know why they're picking this game for this. In addition to your game ticket, you'll receive a Braves Ole Miss co-branded hat, and $3 off every ticket package sold will go back to the Ole Miss Athletics Foundation. I've seen them where they've done them for some other colleges throughout the year. Got a picture of the hat here. It is a red hat with the blue cursive, the lowercase A, the Braves logo. It's the lowercase A.
A better thing
with Ole Miss on the side.
Tony holding a tomahawk.
Would have.
Yep.
That's what you have done.
I would have thought about it. Yeah,
it's a very generic.
That
hat
doesn't do much for me.
I do like the lowercase A logo.
Yeah, Tony swinging a tomahawk would have been a better hat. Just telling you right now.
The shark swinging a tomahawk would have been.
Yeah. All in. Go away all
People
in.
Would have been a lot more interested in it.
Would have been a different hat. Walking down the street, someone sees that hat. Hey, what's that hat?
Well, still Miss Mascot swinging a Braves tomahawk.
Yeah.
What, huh?
They'd be like, no joke.
You'll need a backstory on this all of a sudden. Like, okay.
Tell me more.
So, Chad Kelly looked good in the preseason game over the weekend.
He looked real good.
Paxton Lynch does not look good, and he is being hated by Broncos fans. To be a number two quarterback, it's really hard to be hated as much as Paxton Lynch is being hated right now.
Jeffrey and I went into a lot of detail on this on the Beer Garden. You should listen to it. I think you'd like it. I'll say this about it. John Elway is one of the few executives in the NFL because of what he's done as a player and as an executive who has the capital to go, hey, we screwed up on a pick. We're going to go with Kelly. I know we traded up to get Paxton Lynch. This is a league. It's about quarterbacks. No one hits 1,000. We missed it. It happens. Sorry. But the record show, we took Chad Kelly with the last pick in the draft, and I think we got a quarterback. And I think that's what's coming in Denver. I think he's going to be the backup this year.
Case Keenum's the starter. That's unquestioned right
now. Well, Keenum's the starter, and Keenum's a real solid veteran quarterback. But you can begin to look at Chad Kelly with as a backup and begin to mold him.
Yeah. Keenum, could he do
Keenum
this?
Keenum can really
this...
manage a football game.
Yeah.
And Chad can too, but now Keenum has done it at the NFL level. Keenum can get under center and manage an NFL football game. Chad would be advised, and I'm sure he appears that he's already doing it, he would be advised to pay a lot of attention to Case Keenum and to take a lot of the things that Case Keenum does well and make them part of his deal, because Case Keenum cannot do some of the things with his arm.
Arm talent, not the problem with Chad Kelly.
No, and arm talent's not the selling point for Case Keenum. Case Keenum's a solid veteran who knows what he's doing. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Steady.
Is Denver still bad?
Yeah, which is good for Chad. Go and get a shot. He might get a shot. And he appears to just be absolutely a model citizen. I said this on the Beer Garden. I'll say it here, too.
He was a model citizen here.
But you know what he's done here? He's begun to really surround himself in Denver and in his life with some really sharp people. Not to kiss Ben Craddock's ass, but Ben. People like Ben. He went and spent a week in Jackson at that camp. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, kind of hangs out with people like Ben Craddock. That's pretty smart. He's growing up. He's maturing.
He just got such a bad rap when he was here for crap that wasn't.
He had a bad rap for the deal at Clemson. He paid for it. He had to go spend a year in scuba, for God's sake. That's like going to jail. He paid for it. He got humiliated. Clemson kicked him out.
From the time he arrived on campus, the only dumb thing he did was run on the high school football field, and that wasn't a big deal.
He was protecting his brother.
Wasn't a big deal.
The only dumb thing he did was he got in the deal in Buffalo that December before he ever got here. He got in a little altercation at the bar at 1 in the morning. That's it. College kid gets in fight outside bar, weather at 10:20. I'm not excusing it, but it happens. It didn't happen again, to my knowledge.
No. So, anyway, again, we've got basketball, we got football, and more at rebelgrove.com. GetGear99 is that code. I'll tell you, Neil, I had multiple people walk up to me. Jeffrey and I played in a golf tournament over the weekend. And I just, heard. You heard? Yeah. Just hanging out, I had multiple people walk up and go, hey, y'all's guilt tripping worked. And they were kind of laughing about it. They said, yeah, we signed up. Or we had multiple people that don't even care about the website, but they listened to the podcast and felt like they should just pay back some form of currency for the week of podcasts throughout the year.
Well, thank you.
They said the guilt tripping was 100% effective. Because somebody asked me, they said, so y'all are doing real well in the network with the Get Gear thing? I said, yeah, really well. They were like, you hadn't really done what other people have done. No, but we just, you know, we guilt the crap out of you. And they said, well, it's working.
If you've been using your buddy's password, now's a really good time.
Because you get it essentially free.
We're going to give you...
You're going to buy some crap throughout the year with some team on it. So you get it right now. $99.
You're going to get...
Within 48 to 72 hours, people continue to ask this question. You will be emailed the voucher code between 48 and 72 hours from the time of purchase.
Neither Chase nor I can email you the voucher
code. We do not do that.
I don't have the code to send to you. If I did, I'd send it to you, but I don't. And I'm never going to have it. They're never sending it to me.
It's just like people go, hey, can you tell me what my password is?
No, I cannot.
I don't have access to that.
I can guess.
Thing.
Rebels 1234?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
Rebels 1. That's at least 35%.
Okay, that's not it. Rebels 1-2.
Yeah, what was your high school baseball number? Okay, Rebels that. Do you have one password for everything, or you switch it all up, or do you use one of those programs that puts like the simulated... never mind. You do not use one of those programs.
I hate that, because then if you ever have a problem, you're screwed. I have a couple that I use. I change them up.
my problem is I can never settle on one for when they ask for the capital letter, the number, and the symbol.
Yeah.
So then I'll put one in going, I'll never forget that. And then
have I've got one for that I use pretty routinely.
Do you?
Yeah, which is probably not good. I probably need to change it.
Routinely is not typically a good password maneuver no matter what the situation is.
It's routinely 12. I'm kidding.
Well, that'd be kind of funny, honestly.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, plenty more at rebelgrove.com. Got a greatest pod in the South. You got a beer garden. Even the soft verbal is not very old as well. You really got two beer gardens for that matter. If you haven't listened over the weekend, they got posted on Friday morning.
The one with Ryan Brown on Friday morning. The one with Jeffrey's really good. The one with Ryan Brown on Friday morning, if you need a college football fix, it is basically an hour of really good college football.
So more podcasts throughout the week. We'll talk to you tomorrow.